Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. We've got a great show today. We've got Teresa Yarnos, and I've got a few things I wanted to cover first before we started. But I, as you know, a lot of people know, I just got back from Mexico, and I used to go down there every year to this sleepy little fishing village, and kind of a surfing fishing village, and been doing that for about probably 15 years now, off and on. Sometimes I go off to other places. But what's really interesting is that these these villages now down there, especially the one I go to, have kind of lost it. When I used to go down there, they have a plaza, and the women, you know, would walk hand in hand. The whole family would go out at night, and, you know, there would be music and people playing their guitars and street performers, things like that, you know, all, you know, doing okay. And, you know, they would, they have just two or three people on the street that would be, you know, there's hardly any homeless there. And it's amazing. You know, they take care of each other and they'd be begging on the street. You know, you'd know who they were and you'd give them money. But it's kind of sad, because what happened is they just started going for the buck, and it slowly degenerated. And then a lot of the major restaurants there folded up and just became bars. And you know, because that was the quick profit, you know, the bars and music. And then they started having events down there that, you know, like art festivals that turned into, and I know I'm going to get some crap for this, but, you know, they turned into kind of like raves, you know, and punk rock situations. And there's people making big money on it. But the problem was, it would draw so many people. There'd be 5,000 to 10,000 people would show up for these events, and the village just isn't set up for that. It overtaxed everything, the sewer system, everything. People are sleeping in the streets. They're passed out. They're drunk. They're on drugs, and now the plaza is just not happening there anymore. It's really sad. Just kind of a lot of alcohol and drug stuff going on, but. It's sad when you see a culture like that, that has a beautiful thing going, and that's why everybody goes there, and to see it just degenerate, you know, just because they want the bucks, you know, they want to make, you know, I don't know, they just want to make a, you know, a quick buck out on the deal. But anyway, while I was down there, we had some major chemtrail activity. And everybody went down. I mean, the whole town was sick. It was unbelievable. And it looked like the first hit was that norovirus. And then the next hit was this SARS. And there was a lot of funerals. A lot of older people didn't do too well with these hits. So anyway, it's on, you know, this is epidemic. These weird flus and viruses are epidemic now. And if you do the research on them, you'll find out all of them are engineered. They're not normal. They're not natural. And so, you know, it's time to pay attention to this. And you bring this issue up and nobody will talk about it. A lot, even the chemtrail people won't talk about this end of it. You know, I posted on QAnon saying, hey, let's take care of this first. You know, let's get rid of these guys first. And they go, well, that's a whole nother group doing that, you know. But nobody wants to address that. So I just wanted to cover that in the show. You know, it's part of the deep state, and it's tied into certain military agencies that haven't come on board yet. And it really needs to be addressed, you know, right away, because nothing else matters if you're sick and ill and dying. You know, we need to focus on that. But anyway, with that, that being said, there's a couple other announcements I need to get through here. And, you know, Ashley is continuing on the East Eddy Roadshow this week, and you can join her tomorrow, Sunday, in Costa Mesa or Malibu on Thursday. And details at eastedyevents.com if you want to find out more about that. And so I'm going to go in a little bit to the guests tonight. We've got Teresa Yarnos, and she's a millennial advocate for spiritual enlightenment, and she shares inspirational perspectives through her multimedia project and YouTube channel, Divine Frequency. And she speaks publicly about practical ascension to assist the co-creative consciousness in manifesting a positive future, something we could really use right now. Her down-to-earth perspective and genuine curiosity serve as a springboard to her projects. She's a published author, motivational speaker, journalist, passionate about the dissemination of disclosure and the outing of the deep state atrocities of which we were just talking about. She works with alternative news media websites. Her website is The Divine Frequency and Stillness in the Storm. And other souls align with her vision of actively seeking a positive future for the co-creative consciousness. She's also just published her new book, What is Magic? So with any further ado, I want to bring Teresa on the show. Are you with us?
Hi, James. How are you doing tonight? Thanks for having me.
Good, good. Having a little trouble with my headset. It was working perfectly until I came on the show. And now it's not. Yeah, interesting.
Uh-oh.
No worries. We'll get through it.
I can hear you just fine.
Oh, that's good. So you've got this new book out now, you know, What is Magic? And before, you know, we get the fundamentalists all in a twist, you know, we probably want to do a little definition on what is magic, you know, so they don't go off into the dark magic voodoo.
Absolutely. Well, and let me tell you a little bit of a background into why I wrote this book. I was actually raised Catholic, so I come from a Christian background. And when I read a book called Journey of Souls by Dr. Michael Newton, have you heard of this book before? I'm sure you have.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. Well, this book changed my life. And I was reading this book. It's by a doctor who was doing past life regression therapy. And then he found that he could regress patients into the life between lives. And what he did was he spent 10 years compiling case study after case study of patients. And what he found was that people had the same experience. And so he put this together in a book. And the reason why I tell this story is because when I started reading this book by Dr. Michael Newton, I started having out-of-body experiences, and I did not know what an out-of-body experience was, but all I knew is that I was standing next to my body at night, and I could look down and see my physical body, but I was free to move around, not with my body. So this kind of sent me down a rabbit hole of research to try to figure out what was going on, and what that made me realize or connect to was that there was a lot more going on than what meets the eye. So just kind of an overview of what I mean by, or why I even titled my book, What is Magic? The idea is to inspire the mind and captivate the mind. So when you pose a question, what is magic, it brings a lot of questions up to the surface, and the book is an exploration of the question, if that makes sense. So it's more along the lines of connecting to the unknown and then coming into your personal power.
Great. Now this goes back to, you know, basically consciousness creating reality. And you know, there's a lot of books out there, I noticed, like The Secret, you know, and things like that that people were doing. And one of the things I noticed they're missing is the healing aspect of it, is that, you know, the secret is you're not going to manifest squat diddly unless you heal your old, hopefully this is working, your old wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experiences. And
that is so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I see people go, well, I'm going to focus on, you know, the car, you know, the fancy car and the big house and the woman to die for and all those things. And I, you know, when I hear that, I just go, you know, this is going to make me happy, you know, if I get all these things. But you don't really need all, there's nothing wrong with having those things, but you don't need all these things to be happy.
I totally agree with you. And I would say to that, it's sort of missing the point. I would say that true magic is connecting to your inner work and your own soul path. And when you do more of that soul work, then your capacity for manifestation, what I mean by that buzzword, is just living the life that you want to live. We all have a soul contract when we come down here into this planet. There's a reason why each and every one of us is here, and we're unique. We're a unique blueprint, and it's up to us to identify that, first of all, bring our conscious awareness into that concept. And then we have to choose. We have free will. We have to choose our path. And the more you realize that and you lean forward into that unknown, magic starts to just pour into your existence. And that's that high that you get of consciousness when you realize that you're empowered and you're here for a reason. And that is what I teach in my, you know, my life coaching and my motivational speaking and all of that. It's connecting to that power that you have within you to do what you want to do and to create the world that you want to create. And I'd like to touch briefly on what you were talking about earlier in, you know, going down to Mexico and looking around at this community in this village, and you see that it's changed. And my response to that is that it's up to us in our communities to take our community seriously and create the community that we want to live inside. And I lived in Santa Barbara for a year. And what I love about Santa Barbara is that they have laws that try to keep their community the way they want it. And one of the rules is that you can't build a building taller than the tallest palm tree, which I love.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, the there's so much going on right now. Yeah, you know, I always tell people, you know, people have these belief systems, and they're very invested into this belief system. And, you know, they've got hours and hours and hours of TV, you know, mostly CNN, things like that, you know, and to build this belief system. And, you know, when you stop these people and you go, how much personal knowledge do you have around the statements that you just made? You know, do you have any personal knowledge about that? And they go, well, no. And I go, well, where did you get it? You know, and, you know, they go, well, I heard it on the news, you know, and I said, so you base your whole belief system about what's going on the news. I said, which news do you base it on? And, you know, some of them will go, you know, when I was down there in Mexico, there was a big heated argument going on, and this guy was totally bashing, you know, the president-elect, and I'm not a political person. I think the right wing and the left wing is the same bird, but you're better off with the right wing right now, because they're actually, you know, getting rid of the draining the swamp. But anyway, I asked this guy, I said, you know, where do you, I mean, he was adamant, he was screaming and yelling and he wanted to fight almost. And I said, you've made all these statements and most of them have already been proven to be false. And you've been given a false narrative again and again and again, so many times that now you believe it, but the evidence isn't there. And you know, where do you get your evidence from? Do you get it like 10 steps away from the source, or did you get it from the source or somebody really close to the source that's known that person for a long time or things? You know, you ask them these questions and they just go ballistic on you. And you go, look, I'm just asking you a question on, you know, on what information did you form your beliefs? And could there be a possibility that almost all that information may be incorrect? Because, you know, as you and I both know, we've been lied to about everything, you know, our origins, the ancient history of Earth, you know, the nature of God, whatever you want to call it, you know, everything. We've been, you know, archaeology, everything, science, we've been lied to. And there's a much higher science, a much bigger picture. And I always tell people my truth's flexible. You know, it's like as more wisdom comes in, more knowledge, more research, you know, I'm flexible, but I see a lot of inflexibility right now.
Absolutely. You know, breaking down limiting belief systems is the key. And you're tapping into the very beginning of my book because that's what it's about. And what I love about what you teach is that it's so much in alignment with what I do and my group of people, my tribe. We're doing the same thing. And what I describe, what you just mentioned, is as disclosure consciousness. So when you approach disclosure consciousness, you sit in this space where you're constantly taking in data and information, you're assessing, you're using discernment, you're checking your sources, but you're leaving this open so that you can refine your belief systems as you go, because there's an infinite amount of information. We are finite creatures in an infinite world and or universe, and so we need to keep our minds open so that we can change, because that's how you grow and expand your consciousness, is by refining when you take in new data.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, also too, I've seen
is that the real power, I tell people all the time, the real power comes from within, you know, when you're authentic. And, you know, stop trying to be what they tell you you should be. And I'm seeing that over and over. There's these memes and fads and, you know, and all these things designed to actually take you off course and get you out of touch with your own unique soul purpose. And I see that all the time. And people are not being authentic. They're being something else, and that something else is a program. And there are certain groups behind those programs that are putting those into place.
Yeah, there are so many distractions. It's insane. And when you get caught up, I mean, I can attest to this. Before I wrote my book, you know, I was 25 years old, living in Santa Barbara. Everything was cool. You know, I had my degree under my belt. I had 6 years professional experience. I was working for a tech company. I was living on the beach. Everything was fine, you know. But when I looked around, I realized that I was just living in a matrix. I was going about my day, working my 9 to 5. I was happy, but at the same time, I had so much more potential locked inside of me that I had not unlocked at all. And so I just kind of looked around me and I was like, I think I don't want to just end it here. I think there's something more. So I went into my job. I quit my job. I sold everything I owned. I moved across the country on this soul journey. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I wanted to start businesses. I wanted to learn something new. And when I leaned into that, I cut everything off and just went, you know what, I'm going to lean into this unknown. Then I started to come into alignment. I started to come online. My soul started to activate, and I was able to start moving into something that I did not even have the opportunity to do before. You have to activate yourself and give yourself some credit. And that is what allows you to receive these higher insights and expand in a new way. There's such a lot of people out there in the world that are kind of not giving themselves enough credit, is what I would say. And we need them to activate. We need people to activate. And that's why I love the story you told about how you're asking your friend or whoever this was, like, you know, why do you believe what you believe? Where did you get that information from? Why? How are you so sure that that's the truth? And when people start to ask themselves those questions and they really start to assess their belief systems, these things start to break down, and then their soul is what shines through so that they can access their true path.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's interesting because, you know, he wanted to get kind of violent, basically. And I just said, I just disarmed it. And, you know, I said, look, I'm just asking questions. I said, I'm not telling you how to think or how to believe or anything else. I said, I'm just asking questions. And if that's a threat, you know, but I said, truth stands on its own merit and it doesn't need defending. And, you know, when you start getting this angry and want to go to blows, you know, it's like, you might want to reevaluate, you know, your stance on this. It was kind of funny.
But the ego wants to stay asleep because people want to be able to just live in their bubble. And if they have to assess one thing that might be true, then the whole house of cards just comes crumbling to the ground. And it's a lot of work. It's not like a walk in the park going through a dark night of the soul. But the reality is, if you do that work and you decide to go through that dark night of the soul and you allow that house of cards to come crumbling down, I promise you there's a castle on the other side. It's not going to be easy. But if you go through it, that's when you really activate and get to like do some of the really cool things in the world. It's just beyond the veil, you know?
Yeah, you become free and you become authentic. And you know what too is that, you know, people, I see this all the time, you know, people are wearing, you know, their Birkenstocks, they're all dressed in white and they're eating goji berries and they can turn their body into a pretzel, you know, and it's a facade, you know, and it's this facade of what it means to be spiritual, you know. And there's this guy, I can't remember his name, he's hilarious. He's a red-haired guy that does spoofs on YouTube. I don't know if you've seen him.
Yes, I know who you're talking about.
He did one on ayahuasca and all, and then he was a yoga instructor and all. It's just hilarious, but he
ultra spiritual.
Yeah.
JP Sears.
You have to get him on the show someday because he's hilarious, but.
But
I just, when I saw somebody doing that, I go, excuse me. I just go thumbs up on that one. But
yeah, the guy's great. You should invite him up to East SETI sometime.
Yeah, yeah, he could have fun with that. It's funny. I just watched this guy, and I won't go into it. But Regina Meredith was interviewing this guy, and he was talking all about East SETI like he was an expert on it, and making assumptions about me and everything. And you know, said, you know, like I was totally into my ego and I'm a guru and you know, it's really ridiculous. And she goes, have you ever been there? And he goes, no, but I want to go, you know. And you know, I was just going, this guy's on whatever, mainstream TV, throwing out all these assumptions. He's never been to SETI, he's never met me. And everything, and that we're going right back to what we were talking about earlier. And, you know, these people, they have these assumptions, they have these belief systems. And when you talk about disclosure, that is one of the things that's not allowing disclosure to happen, because these guys consider themselves authorities, you know, they're armchair investigators, they haven't investigated, you know, they haven't, and they're out there making all these statements. You know, and they're trying to keep everything nuts and bolts, or that secret space fleet, or that's, you know, they can't take the next step and realize, you know, we live in a multidimensional universe and we're not alone. And there's beings coming in from all these other dimensions. There's time travelers. I mean, it's all going on. And some of it, you know, some of it is negative. The majority of it is positive. And there's a big cleanup going on. But they want to keep it in that little box, you know. Either it's all bad, it's demons, it's nuts and bolts, it's government back engineering, and that's as far as they want to go with it.
Yeah, well, and you know, there's always more to learn. And the way I look at it is there are three sides to every story. There's one side, there's the other side, and there's the truth. And it's so important for us to try to keep a big picture perspective, because there's so much that we can prove nowadays. But, you know, from a fifth dimensional, fourth dimensional, whatever you want to call it, perspective, a lot of this stuff we might not have the tools to prove. But in a spiritual sense, we're dealing with the supernatural here. So there's so much more that we need to keep an open mind about, while also, you know, being specific, using the evidence that we can use, but keeping an open mind. And I think it's also, there's an element of respect that we need to have for each other, of course, as we're all trying to uncover the truth. We're all trying to expand, and we're doing this together. And I think the more that we can actualize that and hold hands and skip together as much as we can, it's going to make the whole process a whole lot easier, in my opinion.
Yeah. I tell people, I said, you know what? This is going to burst your bubble. I said, imagination is real on the level of imagination. And so what is real? Just because it's not 3D physical does not mean it's not real. And if somebody's having an experience, who am I to say you didn't have that experience? You know, I can't invalidate something or validate something, you know, unless I've seen it myself or had a similar experience. But it's amazing how people put themselves up as authorities and go-tos, you know, and they demand that you prove to them, but they really don't want proof. They want to stay in their belief system. They want to stay right where they're at. They don't want to step out of the box.
Yeah. Well, and that's why experience is so important. And that's one of the things that I love about what you're doing there at SETI, you and the team up there, is that you're giving people a real life firsthand experience. And I can attest to that firsthand myself, going up there and getting to see all the lights in the sky, seeing the orbs, all of that. And the thing about experience is that you can't refute your own experience. When you have something happen to you firsthand, now you have to look deeper. And when you can offer people that, it's changing people's perspectives. And I have to tell you, James, since I've been out there, I've been able to see all kinds of ships in the sky just anywhere I am. I go outside and it's almost like I can tap into that vibration now, since going up there to Trout Lake and seeing that with people. And I was actually able to share an experience with a couple of the people in my family. We were out in East Texas for Thanksgiving last year, and they were talking to me about, they had been watching some of my YouTube videos about East SETI, and they said, hey, it's so cool that you saw some ships in the sky. I said, well, we can do it right now. And they were like, they looked at me like I was crazy. I was like, yeah, why don't we just go out here in the field and we'll call them in. And they were like, seriously? And I said, yeah, let's go. And so we went over there, we went into the field, and sure enough, within 5 minutes, we were seeing flashers and blinking lights, and they were responding to us. It was really cool.
Yeah, that is what it's all about, personal experience, you know, and doing your own research. And that's what we push here. You know, we don't push an agenda. We share things with people and we help validate some of their experiences to support their own awakening. But, you know, I'm the first person to tell people I'm not your guru. You know, you are. And this is an internal experience, you know, not external. And, you know, if you follow me, you're lost because I have my own unique purpose for being here. And, you know, we do have some shared visions we come to do together. But ultimately, it boils down to, you know, the individual and their own internal awakening.
I 100% agree with you. I couldn't agree more. I also think it's really interesting about soul groups. And this is a concept discussed not only in Journey of Souls, the book that I was talking about by Dr. Michael Newton, but other books too. But the idea that we incarnate with a group of souls that we know and we play certain roles in each other's lives. I think that's a really interesting concept that when people hear it, they immediately connect to it because they start thinking about people in their lives that have played a huge role or some mentorship in their lives that they've been able to connect to. And I think it's a really cool concept to think about.
Yeah, and there's a lot of like star families. You know, there's people coming in from the Pleiades and from the Orion Council of Light and Arcturus and Sirius. And they've had lives in these really advanced cultures and some other dimensions as well. And they have that knowledge within them. And they're coming together and meeting each other and you know, remembering. And that adds to the whole collective. You know, when one awakens to that and starts, you know, working with others, it, you know, changes the whole collective consciousness.
Do you think because you do a lot of work with that type of arena that you're calling or inviting those types of people subconsciously to come out to East SETI and meet each other?
Yeah, definitely. Well, they're being guided to come out here. And, you know, we have really strong connections with these different groups and especially with the Galactic Medicine Wheel. That there's a woman that came out, it's in the Hopi tradition, but it's a Galactic Medicine Wheel that has all the different star nations in it. And when people go into that medicine wheel, they have huge, I mean, you've seen that. You've seen people just have meltdowns out there. And when they hit their star group, you know, they have this huge opening, huge awakening. And you know, some of us have multiple lives, you know, in different cultures.
Yeah, that was really fascinating to go out there and be a part of the medicine wheel out there. I was in one of the rooms and I heard people playing the singing bowls. And as you know, I'm a musician and I love singing bowls. And I went up there into the room and there were a couple girls up there playing the singing bowls. And so we, the three of us, took the bowls out to the circle and we started playing in the circle, in the inner circle. And then people started to come over, Jimmy Church and Rita and a few other people too. I think it was like 11 of us total. And they started walking around the medicine wheel. And then they all stood around us in a circle in the middle as we were playing the singing bowls. And we had a really intense meditation experience. It was cool too, because all three of us, after about 15 minutes of playing, stopped playing the bowls all at the same time. And what was interesting, and Jimmy Church talked about this on the radio show on Fade to Black. And I've, you know, we've discussed it on Fade to Black as well, but He went out of body. And so he had some kind of like astral experience. And then after this meditation is over, Rita, his wife, went in there with a camera and was taking pictures of the signs where it said the star family names on them. And she got a picture of the Andromedan sign. And when she looked at the picture, it looked as though it was chopped up, almost like you could see dimensional rifts in that photo. It's really interesting. I did a YouTube video on it on my YouTube channel, Divine Frequency.
Great. Yeah, there's so many things that happen out there. It's like, and it's fun. I love the kids too. When the kids come out and you give them the third generation night vision goggles, you know, and then they see all the ships flying around and then they see the orbs and everything else. And it, a lot of them just, it's natural for them. But I see others get all excited, you know, and it opens them up. And then after they know they're there, then they start seeing them naturally. They start seeing the orbs and working with the higher dimensional beings just, you know, becomes natural for them. Because, you know, you see with your brain, people don't realize that, most people, but it's neuroscience. Your brain chooses what you see out of billions of bits of information. And to say, you know, I'll believe it when I see it is actually backwards. You know, to be open to the possibility to know there's something there and look for it, that's a whole different story.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I don't know that I would have known what you meant until having the experience that I had out at Iseti, getting to see the ships, because I know what you're talking about. Because it's almost like when you tap in to this experience, you know, you're out there with, like, I don't know, 20, 30 people, you're looking up in the sky. I had never seen anything in the sky before, so I'm just kind of looking. And then you start to see them, and you start to see them flying around, and they change directions, and you're like, oh, wow. And it's almost like you tap into that frequency, and then now you have access to that at any time, because now I can go outside and I can sit there for a little bit, and then it's almost like you just tap in and you're able to see the different ships flying around. It's really cool.
Yeah, and it, you know, it goes back to what you're talking about with your book. You know, it's about being open to new perspectives, new realities, and that's when the magic happens, is when you set aside your ego and you know, ask the universe, you know, teach me, show me what I need to know, you know, heal me, whatever. You know, that's when the magic starts happening, is when you actually initiate it and put in your time, your meditation time, or whatever you're doing, you know, and, you know, then things start happening.
Totally, because that's exactly what I would say, because magic is connecting to the universe, because the universe is infinite and we are finite manifestations of that infinite. So there's always more to learn and experience. Every moment has the capacity and the potential for you to realize magic inside of that moment. So it's just locked away until you tap into that mindset, that framework.
Yeah, it's the same thing Jesus and Buddha taught. You know, they, you know, Buddha, well, Jesus said the temple is within, you know, ye are all gods, you know, talks about the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness and all planes and dimensions throughout the multiverse, and you access it by going within. You know, the same thing Buddha said, the whole universe is within you. And, you know, it's a basic teaching that so many people have forgot, and unfortunately, most religions don't teach that. They teach you to worship, you know, external gods and bearded gods and ancient Anunnaki, and not even knowing that their image of God was actually, you know, a highly evolved being that might have come from Lyra or, you know, the ancient Anunnaki.
I think that a lot of us were taught that there were intermediaries between us and divinity and God. But then when you realize that you don't actually need an intermediary, that the divine is within you, and your connection to source is inside of you, and you can connect at any moment, that's when you realize that you are a spark of the infinite creator. And so then you lean into that, and then that's when you can really start to make the magic happen.
Exactly. That's what Yogananda said. You know, he said, ignite the spark into the full flame. And that's called enlightenment or ascension or whatever name you want to give it.
What's interesting too is that, like, in the beginning for me, I guess the beginning of my awakening experience, it was all interesting because I'm having out-of-body experiences. I'm having these, like, really amazing meditation experiences. All this, like, supernatural stuff was happening, and that's all in my book. But it was almost as though the real work didn't start until after I was completely done with the book, because then it was like I realized the well of information that I didn't know. It's like you come out on the other end of your exciting, oh, I'm learning all this cool stuff, and then you're like, wait a second, this is a lot. And then you have to face the shadow, right? And this is what you were talking about earlier, where it's like, oh wow, I actually have a whole lot of work I need to do because of the limiting belief systems. And the, you know, you were talking about being angry. You get angry because you're like, there's so much that I don't know, and there's so much that I want to cling to. There's a lot of fear that you want to cling to, that your ego's like screaming, right? And then you have to go through the process of calming that down, finding that stillness within you, and letting go. I had so much that I had to let go of. And once I was able to do that and say, you know what, I am an instrument for the Father God, for the Creator, for the universe, and all of the things that I thought I want, I'm letting go of. And when you start to shuck that off and you let go of what you think it is you want, you become the archetype of the tower in the tarot, you know, and you let that break down, and then you're reborn from the ashes. You become the phoenix archetype, and then you can step into your personal power now, because you get a glimpse, and only then do you get the glimpse of your true soul path once you let that ego die.
Yeah, the Native Americans say, you know, you have to become like a hollow bone, you know, let spirit work through. And the more you have an attachment to the work, you know, the less the spirit can flow. And, you know, it's the same thing with Yigong, one of the practices we do here. It's the absence of mind. You get into that no mind space, and that's when things are really flowing. And you're also doing, you know, you're working with the elements and mastering the elements, you know, at the same time. But, you know, I love those practices that are really simple, and they're very ancient, and they work, you know. And a lot of them have gotten convoluted over the years, you know, and added to and became really complicated. And they trap you back in the mind again because you're trying to learn all this stuff. But if you can find that space of no mind, and the practices actually make you use both sides of your body at the same time and use both sides of your brain, which balance out your body and your brain. So, you know, that's what it's all about, balance. And it's also about finding that still point, you know, within.
I love that.
And not trying. If the more you try to stop the mind, you're going to sabotage yourself. Yeah. Just let it run. Let it run. It'll run out of gas. And just keep focusing.
I want to try Yigong.
Yeah, you focus on love and joy and bliss, you know. And if your thoughts are running off, just let them run. And then you come back again to the heart. And eventually they just run out of gas. But that's one of the biggest sabotage things that happens. People, you're trying to stop the mind. Well, who's trying? Your ego is trying.
Yeah.
So stuck in the ego, you know.
I think that's why it's so important to do the things that, you know, like the things you love, like if you like to do art, or if it's music, or whatever this is, any of those practices that allow you to go into your flow state. There's so, our lives are so busy these days, it's insane. We get a free moment, and then we pack it more full with other things on our list, and it just goes and goes and goes. And I just feel like we're barreling forward, especially in America, we're just barreling forward as fast as we can, and we're just gonna hit a wall. And it's so important to take time every day if you can, because it's for yourself, it's for your soul development. And if you don't do that, you're just going to be cutting yourself off from expansion.
Exactly. I tell people, take your shoes off. It's kind of hard to do because it's snowing out here right now, but take your shoes off, walk on the grass, do your meditation, do whatever practice that works for you. And, you know, turn off your computer, turn off your TV, shut off your cell phone, and get that nature time back in. And, you know, that's where you really learn things and know things versus, you know, going to the internet or TV or whatever and trying to sift through all the nonsense there. The only thing that brings me solace, I've seen the end of the story and it turns out really good. But this whole program, you know, these talking heads and, you know, this Project Mockingbird and all the lack of integrity and everything that we're seeing right now is going to implode on itself. And I see it, believe it or not, in about 8 weeks, I see a lot of the stuff just going away and totally, you know, a lot of these people going away and ending up where they need to be. But there's one thing that's just, and it's probably one of my necromancers or whatever to get over, but I cannot stand people lying and they know they're lying. And they stand up there and they lie. And when you're awake, you see right through it. You know they're lying. And it blows me away. How do you do that? And they know. I mean, they know what they're doing. And to me, it's just like, what kind of a person would take a job as a professional liar? And, you know, and that's their claim to fame. You know, I was the best liar on the planet, you know, and I made president, you know, or whatever, you know. It's like, you know, the one thing I like about Trump, he just shoots from the hip. You know where he's coming from. He throws those tweets out, and I love watching, you know, the other guys just flip out and freak out, and it's like a game, and I'll bet he's laughing his ass off, having fun, you know, and I would do the same thing. I would mess with their head so bad that they wouldn't know which one was up, you know, you know, it's kind of hilarious.
I would love to see you as president. You got my vote straight up. That would be amazing.
I would never run for president because they would dig up every little thing, you know, stuff that I forgot about, I might have done when I was 16 years old or whatever would come up, and who knows. And no matter what you say, they would twist it. But I'd have fun. I would have total fun with it. You know, we're going to impeach you. Okay, great. I get to go back up to the mountain and do my gardening. You know, it's like,
oh, darn. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, okay, whatever. You know, it's like, well, you're like, we're going to kill you. Okay, well, I've already done that. Go do it three times. And so I know where I'm going there, you know. So I don't know. It's kind of funny.
That is funny. Well, and you know, the thing about the mainstream media right now with all the crazy stories that are coming out and just the obvious manipulation that's going on, what I think is beautiful is that I'm hearing so many stories of people starting to talk to their friends and family. So I think that the whole thing's crumbling as well because people are finally getting to a point where they feel supported, where they can start talking about this stuff and they don't think that they're going to be called crazy because there's so much evidence to suggest a lot of this stuff is being messed with. So
yeah,
it's exciting for me to hear all these stories about people being able to sit their families down or bring it up naturally, you know, around the dinner table or out with their friends or whatever that looks like. I'm hearing a lot more stories about people just opening up. And that's how the change will begin. The change, the shift in consciousness starts with the people, with all of us. We have to take it upon ourselves to start talking about these things with each other. And so that we can expand and expand and expand. That's the only way we're going to do it. You know, disclosure is not going to happen unless we're a part of it. And we're in that state now. You know, we're not in the age of information. We're in the age of disclosure. That's what I say. And the uncovering of what's hidden starts with each and every one of us.
Yeah, they keep having these new disclosure movements. And then you look behind it and you go, wait a second, Podesta's involved in this again, you know? The same group is behind it, but they have a new person in front, you know, a new front runner, and you know, to bring all their attention. But it's the same information, the same group, and they're not going to go into what's really going on. And I tell people, I go, look, you know where all that inspiration is coming from? It's not coming from this dimension. I said, you've got, you know, 13th dimensional beings and Pleiadians and Andromedans, the Orion Counts of Light and Arcturians and Sirians. They're all pressing their consciousness and energy in on the earth right now. It's surrounded, and the earth is ascending. She's ascending as well. And so, you know, people are having these aha moments because the whole consciousness is changing. The consciousness and energy, the grid, everything is changing. The old draconian grid is being torn down. And resistance is futile. You can't stop this process. It's massive. And I see these guys trying so hard to suppress this and stop this movement, but you know, you can't. It's so far beyond, you know, our consciousness that we can't even grasp how big it is.
Yeah. Well, and your message is fascinating. I mean, I didn't even know really anything about star families until coming out to ESETI last year. And then, you know, you and I had a healing session where you asked, you know, we went into the meditative state. It was, you know, four of us. And then you asked if I wanted to be initiated, and I received a vision, and I was the Sphinx between the two pyramids. And here's the sun on the horizon rising. And then the sun slips like a disc in through my crown and sits at my heart. And I get really warmed up. And then after this session, I asked you, I said, cause you told me it was an initiation from the Sirians. I don't know other than that, but
yeah.
And then after the session, I asked you, hey, James, do the Sirians have anything to do with ancient Egypt? And you smiled real big at me and you said, they have everything to do with ancient Egypt. And it was really cool because I didn't know anything about them. And to have that vision and to be able to link that and have that synchronicity was extremely interesting.
Yeah, they were the protectors of the gods, the ancient Anunnaki. And Sekhmet is part of that. They have this beautiful, I think it's about a 14-foot statue, which is pretty accurate, of this just glowing lion being that's upright, that has this total endearing smile, you know? And everybody goes, why does she look that way? She should be ferocious, you know, she's guarding the temple. And that's not the case. And what happened is when the Anunnaki fell, not all of them fell, some just continued to evolve. But the fallen ones, when they fell, the Sirians, the lion beings and the Peshat and those guys, they said, look, we can't help you anymore. We can't walk with you because you've fallen and you're breaking universal law. And so we're done, you know, and they went back. You know, but now all of that's being cleaned up because they are back now, and they're here with the benevolent Anunnaki along with, you know, the Syrians and the Protectors, and all those guys are returning now, which is going to turn some religions upside down because there's a much bigger.
When you say they're returning, are you saying that they're incarnating as humans, or are they returning on a spiritual level?
Both. A lot of people are being activated that have had lifetimes as these beings. They're being activated and they're incarnate, and they're coming as well, and they're inspiring and protecting from the other dimensions. So it's both going on.
Fascinating. I just looked up Sekhmet, and I'm looking at this beautiful lion being with what looks like an orange sun over her head, which is like very similar to the vision that I had with the sun slipping like a disc in through my crown.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, they're beautiful beings, but, you know, we have to, you know, there's two rules of thumb here. There's one guy, a major ufologist out there, this doctor, I won't mention his name, but, you know, he says we need to open to everything, stop being spiritual snobs, just let anything into our bodies. And I go, are you kidding me? You know, it's like it's like there's grays, there's reptilians, there's serpent beings, there's hybrids, you know, and you do not want, you know, to give those people any space whatsoever. And so, you know, I find it amazing that there's no spiritual discernment. And they're not teaching tools, you know, for discernment. And some of these people, you look and standing right behind them are these reptilians and hybrids and things like that. But wow. It's the same thing with politics. It's the exact same thing going on. You've got these higher beings. I won't tell you where Trump's from, but you've got all these higher beings coming in. Why are all these ships following his plane and protecting him? There's a reason for it. And so there's these higher beings and their counterparts here on Earth. And then there's a transdimensional war going on. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing it as the deep state versus the white hats. That's
much higher than that.
Yeah, we're seeing it on this level, but there's other levels to it. And these other levels are getting cleaned up. And now the puppet masters aren't physical. They're unseen beings.
Mm-hmm.
And they're being taken out. And now the puppets are just floundering. And they're not functioning, and they're just giving it away, you know. So they're going to collapse in on themselves, you know, real soon as well. And it's time, you know, it's time for this to happen.
Well, and to speak to what you're saying, it's time for us to lean into our experience and take responsibility, because each and every one of us has a part to play. We're not just wallowing around willy-nilly in this life. No, we have to take this seriously. We're activating right now. We're here 2018 for a reason. We have a responsibility to our ancestors, to all the souls past, all the souls future, everything. We have a responsibility right now. We are incarnate. We are in the physical. We are in the flesh. Therefore, we have a responsibility to figure out what it is that we're supposed to be doing. And discernment is incredibly important, because this is our soul. This is our collective consciousness. We have to take this seriously. We can't just go around and go, oh, okay, yeah, I want to let this into my head, or I'm going to, you know, we have to take our life seriously. And what I like to do when I'm feeling like I want to make sure that my path is the right path is I go within. I take, you know, some time to stop acting. You know, I'm a Leo. I love to do, you know, I'm super action-based. I get things done. I've got a lot that I do, but at the same time, like whenever I have to make sure I'm recalibrating every so often and go, let me make sure that this is the right path for me. And I stop what I'm doing, and I'll take a whole day if I need to, and I just go within. I've actually done this recently, and I check back to myself, and I sit in a meditative space for as long as I need to and clear my mind, and I make sure that I'm sitting with my decisions to make sure that the path I'm walking is the narrow path, is the highest path of love and light. And that's what I try to do as much as possible to make sure that I'm making the right decisions for my soul path.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's universal law. It's really simple. It's basically universal peace and brother, sister, love, and individual freedom and prosperity for all. And, you know, the separation game is over. It's called unity consciousness. And that's what's pressing in on the planet right now. And we have to use that as a template in everything that we do and just say, does this fit within universal law? Is this separating? Is this creating, you know, violence? Is this
harming others, you know, and how is this, you know, keeping the peace? You know, it's like, you know, sometimes you do need to step up and disrupt things a little bit because, you know, you got to say what needs to be said. But but at the same time, you know, what is your goal? You know, is your goal, you know, are you coming at it from a very wounded sense of entitlement or whatever? Are you coming at it totally programmed from, you know, the social consciousness and the mainstream media? You know, where, what you're come from? And what's sad, there's so many people that don't even know what the come from is. You know, they're just guided like a sea of fish, you know, like, okay, turn left, turn right, you know, turn, this is what the herd's doing, you know. You go, well, who's guiding the herd? You know, maybe I need to figure out, you know, I got to figure out who's giving the orders here, you know. And a lot of times if they'd stop and see who is financing these things and who's actually giving the orders, they'd be shocked because it's the very thing that they're marching against or have disdain against are the people at the top of these programs, you know, that are creating all the dissension.
Right. Well, and talking back to personal power in all of this, as this battle's being waged, it comes back to humility and understanding that the gifts that we have were given to us from the source. So it's all about connecting to that concept, letting that flow through you, because then your actions are pure. You're able to align with that vibration of love in what you're doing, so that you're making sure that whatever it is that you're doing, it's for the right reasons.
Exactly. I mean, I see so many victims out there and so many people that are really angry and they're up there screaming on the pulpit and everything else. And you know what they're really angry at is they have no love in their life. That's what they're really angry at. And the reason they have no love in their life is because they're really angry, you know, and nobody wants to hang out with them.
And so, anger acts as a catalyst, though. You know, when you're experiencing a lot of anger, that has to give at some point, and then hopefully you can learn from that anger and transmute that into love. I've seen it happen. It's happened in me. You know, when I was younger, I used to have, you know, you'd get angry when you're young, like, you know, in your early 20s or whatever, but then you realize this isn't working for me. And then you find a new way. And what happens is this beautiful thing, you blossom, and then you're able to understand, you learn from that, and then help other people too. So we just need to make sure we're helping other people that are experiencing anger so that we can show them love and show them how to change that within them into something that works for them.
Yeah, we need to have a whole new show on the divine feminine and what it really means, because I've just seen that is such a powerful energy. When you hook into Mary's energy or some of these goddess energies, things, it is so powerful, and there's so much love and so much nurturing coming from these beings, and they'll tell you, you know, what you need to hear. They don't sugarcoat it. They're very powerful beings. And I think we've lost that, you know, and there's a lot of people trying to be men, you know, and you know, men screwed things up, you know, why would you want to become a man? They kind of blew things. But there's a lot of enlightened men out there that are figuring this out too, you know, and find out what it does mean to be an enlightened male. But, you know, that's a whole nother show, though. You know, I always tell people that, you know, women have the power because men do everything for the woman. They get, you know, they get the fancy cars, the big houses, and all the other stuff so they can trap a woman, you know. So who's who's really got the power, you know? So it's I know I'm going to get some crap for that one, but it is true, you know. It really is true. It's like, you know, Chinese have it right. Happy wife, happy house, you know, happy household, you know.
I think that I'm seeing a lot of men and women in this community really coming together to shine light on the balance of the divine masculine and the divine feminine, which I think is so beautiful. So I agree with you, James. I think we're going to be expanding on this topic a lot more in the coming months and years, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. It has to, you know, I get tired of having to apologize for being a man, and you know, it's like, you know, I love my manhood, you know, but I don't abuse it. I don't use it to harm anybody or trespass on anybody or, or anything else, you know, and I'm not going to, you know, whatever, put on a pink tutu and dance around for somebody, right, because that's what they need. It's not my nature, you know, but if that is your nature, yeah, that's fine.
Well, and unfortunately, there are a lot of psychological operations that have been, you know, pushed on the people on both ends, men and women. And the more we can assess these, bring these operations into our collective consciousness, our conscious frame of reference, we can discuss them, we can talk about these things, and then we can get on the same page and stop fighting each other and start working together, which is what we need to be doing. And we need to be supporting our men and supporting our women instead of breaking each other down. It's ridiculous, and it's not helping.
I agree. You know, it's all about healing. I tell people, I don't care what you are, you know, whatever you want to do is your choice. That's your divine right to free will and self-determination. But where are you doing it from? Are you doing it because you're extremely wounded? You had a very abusive father or mother, or you have some really severe past lives? Is that's what, you know, if that's the case, let's heal it. You know, let's just focus on healing. Forget everything else. Forget all the judgments and everything else. Let's just focus on clearing, you know, just clear this out and see what comes of it, you know? And that's why I look at things, you know, if there's a healing, heal it, you know, let's own it, clear it. You know, if there's not, fine. You know, it's like, but, you know, if we really focus on communication and healing and staying out of judgment, you know, I think we're going to make a quantum leap, you know, in evolution.
I 100% agree with you. It's, and you know what? The reality is all of us have healing that we need to do. And a lot of it comes from childhood, whatever it was that you went through. You know, I do a workshop on, you know, journey of the soul archetypes. And so you move through from birth all the way through to where you are now. And it's all about assessing your life and then letting go of potentially limiting belief systems. Mm-hmm. And it's so important. And what happens is when people go through this process, they start to realize, wait a second, this was something that needs to be healed. And when you start to uncover these things, you start to feel empowered because you go, wait, I can heal this. I can assess this now. I can figure out what I need to do to make this go away. And you, what I say, when I say go away, I mean integrate fully so that you're a full soul, so that you're feeling whole, so that you are healed, and then you can move forward and do all these great things with your life as one whole.
I agree. Hey, I just got the buzzer here that we've got to wrap it up. We're out of time, unfortunately. So, you know, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. And how do people get a copy of your book?
They can go to thedivinefrequency.com, and I have a section there, or they can just get it on Amazon, and it's called What is Magic?
Great. Awesome. Hey, well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. We'll have to do it again soon, and I know there's a lot more we need to cover.
Absolutely, James. I can't wait to see you soon, and have a wonderful rest of your month.
All right. All right. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, signing off on the BBS Network. Have a great evening. Watch the skies, and stay on the light side of things. Good night.